All these kids who get to stay with us in the service today, which is so exciting. I am no Sunday school teacher. I'm not that exciting, but we're going to try our very best, okay? And adults, you might think, hey, this is kind of geared towards kids. Not at all. You cannot let yourself off the hook for learning how to love your enemies better just because it's a simple topic. And if you really wanted to know, I asked my kids, what kind of topics would you want? And the things that I got were, why 10 plagues when God could have just done one because he knew it would work? And the other was, why did Abraham have to sacrifice his son again? And so I thought, I don't want to touch either of those on Family Sunday. And so we're going to go with love your enemies, because I thought, okay, what do a 5-year-old and a 75-year-old both deal with that we could talk about from the perspective of the Bible? People came to mind. People is something we all deal with, and that's not always that easy, because like the world would be such a great place if it weren't for just all the people that are here messing things up. And so if I ask a grade one, like, do you find it hard to be, you know, kind to someone who hasn't been nice to you? They probably say, like, yeah, that's hard. And if I asked like somebody going into their 95th high school reunion, like, do you find it hard to be kind to someone who's mean to you? They'd be like, what? And then I'd say, do you find it hard to be kind to someone who's been mean to you? And he'd probably be like, get out of my way, sonny, because Blake Templeton stole my girlfriend in grade 4, and now he's in a wheelchair, and so I'm just going to walk in circles around him all night to show him who gets the last laugh. Because people have a hard time forgiving. People have a hard time being kind to people. Like, we want to get people back when they hurt us in some way or another. And it doesn't matter whether we're kids or adults. This is an area we can always be growing in. And even though it's not an easy thing to do, to be kind to those who aren't kind to us first, it's an important thing. And just because something's hard to do doesn't mean it's not right to do. And so we're going to talk about a time when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and a whole bunch of people had gathered around. Jesus was up on his hill and talking to people about how to treat those who hadn't been kind to them. And he started by reminding them about this law from a long, long time before that said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Okay? And it was an Old Testament law. It was from a long, long time before. And it was basically trying to help people understand, if somebody does something bad to you, the punishment should be something kind of the same. Like, if someone pokes you in the eye, it'd be fair if you poke them in the eye as well. Like, it's kind of fair. Or, like, if somebody called you a bad name, you should be able to call them a bad name back, because that'd be fair, right? Or your little sister steals your sweater without asking, you should be able to go and take something of hers without asking, because that seems fair. Or, you know, for adults, if the government skims off like 40% of your income before you ever see it, maybe you'd think like, well, I can take a little bit of that back without being totally truthful, right? Because that seems fair. But the thing is, Jesus came and he talked a lot about fairness. He also talked about unfairness. And this law was to keep things from getting out of hand. Because if you had a neighbor who came and stole your rake, if you had a neighbor who came and they took your rake, like for the garden, do you think it would be fair if you went and you burnt their whole barn to the ground? No. No! That punishment is way too extreme. And so this would help things not get so out of hand. It would help the punishment fit the crime. And when Jesus came, he taught a lot about fairness, but he also taught about unfairness. And Jesus taught how fairness is good, but also when unfairness is good. Because, believe it or not, there's times where unfairness is good. Now, for example, one of the most unfair things in the world is when someone gets punished for something they didn't do, right? Has this ever happened where you're like, brother or sister broke something and then you got blamed for it? Anyone in their history remember this happening? Yes, it's not just kids. Okay, well, that's never fun. You don't want that to have happen. And there's, you know, different situations where that can happen. And I've got a great example from Kim where somebody got punished for something that they didn't do. So Kim and her family went camping, and she was, you know, young, maybe 15, 16. No, maybe a bit younger in this story. Okay, 9, 8, 10, whatever. She's 5 years older than her little brother and then her sister in the middle. And so they're camping, and mom and dad say, we're in a tent. If you need to go to the washroom, you got to go now, because we're not getting up in the middle of the night, because nobody wants to get up and go to the washroom in the middle of the night when you're sleeping in a tent. So parents say, kids, you know, you who are like 5 and 6 years old, come on, make sure you do this. You're a little older, you can make up your mind, you're 9 or 10. If you don't need to go, you don't need to go. But then, in the middle of the night, Kim wakes up, and it's not that she needs to go to the bathroom, it's that she already did. because she peed in her sleeping bag. And she thinks, what am I going to do? Well, my little brother sleeps pretty heavy. Maybe I'll just roll him out of his, and I'll put my sleeping bag under him, and then I'll roll him back into it, and I'll just change my pajamas and use his sleeping bag and let him take the rap for it for like 15 years. He got in a lot of trouble for that for a really long time. And one of the most unfair things that can happen is... is when people get blamed for things that they didn't do. Like, that seems unfair, right? But that's exactly what actually happened with Jesus dying on the cross, was he took the punishment for our sins. It wasn't fair because we don't get the punishment we deserve. He got it. Now, he volunteered to take it, but it still wasn't fair in that way. But love is greater than fairness sometimes. And love will help us treat people unfairly in the sense that we might be moved to treat them better than they deserve. Now, it's not good to go the other way and treat them worse than they deserve because I'm being selfish, but, you know, fairness matters. Like, we should play fair and share fair and fight fair, and adults, we should fight against things that aren't fair, like injustice. We should fight against the oppression of the weak and when they're being taken advantage of. It's not that things should never be fair, but one thing we learn about God's love is that because his love is so great, people don't always get what they deserve. And that's something that God has shown to us that we can show to other people. And so he taught in the Bible this time, and he gave a few examples of how when God's love lives in us, we can not treat people the way they deserve when they do bad things as a way of showing God's love. And on a normal Sunday, I might, you know, present it more along the lines of, you know, we can be gracious when we've been wronged and extend kindness to those who have caused deliberate harm or perhaps inadvertent, whatever. I don't know. That's me. That's my super scholarly sentence right there. But, you know, as adults, let's not kid ourselves. We could all use a reminder to show God's love in our lives by not doing bad things to people who do bad things to us first. It's not that far beyond us to need to be reminded of this. So, when Jesus was on earth, Jerusalem was being ruled by an empire. Now, who can unscramble the letters and tell me what empire was ruling in Jerusalem at that time? Roman. Yes, the Roman Empire was in charge of Jerusalem, where all the Israelites lived, and so, or many of the Israelites lived. And they made life difficult. The Roman emperor demanded that they worship him, even though they were supposed to worship God. The tax collectors went around and took their hard-earned money. The soldiers would bully anyone who wasn't listening. And so one time, Jesus went up on this hill and started to teach these people, and they would wonder, like, what's Jesus going to say? Is he going to tell us that, you know, the Romans aren't going to get away with this for long? Is he going to tell us how we can take power back? Is he going to tell us how we can get away from, you know, them being so mean to us? But then, to everyone's surprise, Jesus spoke about loving and doing good things for the people who were causing them harm. And he gave these few examples. So to introduce each of them, we're just going to do a quick Pictionary, just one word Pictionary here. We should be able to guess. This is, so just one word to kind of open this part up. So just guess when you think you know what this is. A slap. Yes, that is totally a slap. This is the hand slapping. It's go-go gadgets. Whoa. From far away, the hand does look longer than up close. From that side angle where you don't have depth, it looked a little different. Fair enough. But here, so slap is the word. So that's the word to remember at the beginning here, slap. Now, here's what Jesus said about it, okay? He said, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." And Jesus wanted them to learn a very simple idea that love does not take revenge. Revenge is when you want to get somebody back for something that they've done to you. So Jesus is telling this principle because he wants us to know that the love of God in us is actually strong enough to help us resist the urge to want to get someone back or get even with somebody. It's strong enough for that. And This whole thing was about restricting retaliation, right? It was about if somebody hurts you, you can't just go and make things worse. Like, you can't, well, you stepped on my toe, so I'm going to kick your shin, so I'm going to punch you in the stomach, so I'm going to punch you in the face, so I'm going to cut you in half. And then all of a sudden, there's no people left, or there's just half people everywhere. It's going way too far, right? But people kind of go way too far sometimes. And that's the whole point of this, was this rule, this law, eye for eye, was intended to stop things from getting out of hand as people went back and forth. But it wasn't about a person having to be punished. It was saying this is kind of the maximum punishment that they can get for this kind of a thing, learning that the punishment should fit the crime. But Jesus speaks of God's heart and his love being more than just able to stop the escalating violence. Talks about God's love stopping the cycle of payback just right away, just stopping it dead in its tracks. No revenge, no retaliation, just starving the fire of fuel altogether. If you've gone camping, did you go camping this summer at all? Have a campfire outside? Anybody? What are the ways you can put out a campfire?
Oil?
Put oil on it. No. No. Good guess, though. Let it burn till it runs out.
Sand,
yeah.
Water,
yeah. They took all yours. Well, that's better than oil, so that's good. So, yes, all these things. And so you've got water, you could put sand on it. The sand. Baking soda, sure, why not? I don't know. Maybe, I don't think that's flammable. So you can smother it with water or sand or whatever else, or you can let it run out of fuel. You can just leave it and it won't burn anymore. And this is like a really important idea to have in mind when we're dealing with people, because sometimes people want to argue, and when we say something mean back, we put more fuel on the fire. It's like putting another log on or putting oil on. It's just making it able to keep going. But if you just leave it, it eventually burns itself out. And in, you know, relationships and marriage, sometimes you're upset and you'll come and you'll say, like, I can't believe you did this. But then how surprising is it when somebody says, oh, you're right, I'm sorry about that. It's like, but you were supposed to defend yourself. We were going to argue. I had this whole thing planned out. What do you mean? But sometimes you just have the power to stop it. Like, the quickest route to peace can be just not adding fuel to the fire, to just let it die. Now, there's one more thing I want to say just about this before we go off it. This doesn't mean, when it says do not resist an evil person, doesn't mean that we like let anybody do whatever they want to anyone they want. It doesn't mean bullies get away with being bullies and we should never talk to anybody about it. He's not saying that Christians should just let bad things happen anytime, or we shouldn't stop it. If you see someone stealing a car, good idea to call the police. If you see somebody being bullied or treated unfairly, it's good to stand up for them. It's not that people who do wrong should never have to experience a punishment for that. It's getting the idea in our hearts and minds that when someone does something to offend me, I don't have to come up with revenge for them. I don't have to make my life about finding a way to get them back. Like Jesus, when he went to the cross, instead of fighting back, he offered forgiveness and he offered grace to those who were harming him. And we can do that as well. Now, the next example is a person wanting to take something from someone else. And so this is a two-word one. The first word is this. Somebody just said something. Nope. A coat. Yes, so that's a coat. And this one? A shirt, yes, thank you. I had no way to fix it, so that was gonna be what it is. Shirt and a coat. So here's what Jesus said. After he said this, he said, and if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Can you imagine liking someone's shirt enough that you would sue them and go to court so that you could get their shirt? Like, just go to Old Navy. There's a million of the exact same one out there. Obviously, Jesus isn't talking about, like, just situations with shirts and coats. He's talking about something much bigger than that, and what he's talking about is how love is generous, even when people don't deserve it. And so in this situation, somebody wants something from you, and you can show that you trust God to provide for your needs, and so you don't have to fight them about it. You can give it. And again, it's not that somebody should be able to come and just steal all your things from you, but it's about being able to show generosity. And actually, Amazon Prime showed me this kind of generosity this week. because I had decided a long time ago I was going to build an electric fence, and then I ordered all this stuff in March, and then I took a long time to cut all the path through the bushes and finally had it all set up and hooked it up and really scaredily went up to it, and it was like a tickle. It was like the gerbil wouldn't be kept in by this thing. And so, maybe I'll return it, but oh no, Amazon's got a 30-day return policy, and I'm way past it. The humanity. What are you going to, this is the worst thing for an adult. This is one of the worst things in life. And so I call and I asked, is it possible? Because I know I bought it so long ago, but you could see I ordered that, and then I ordered all the wire that goes around, and then it took me a long time to put the wire up before I could even test it. You can't test it without the wire. And so she asked if I would be okay going on hold, and I said yes. And then while I was on hold, like 2 minutes later, bing, my phone goes off. I got an email. They're going to take it back, and they're going to pay for the shipping. In an adult's world, this is as good as it gets. This is very exciting that they're going to do this. I mean, they gave me the refund I asked for, and they offered to pay for the shipping for it. I didn't deserve that. I went outside their little realm of what, the timeline should be. It seems like an insignificant and worldly example, but I use it as a way to say, can you imagine what potential we have to bless people if we're generous like this, even when people don't deserve it? Like, give them what they think they want, what they need, and then go beyond it. And as God's people who have received his grace, who stand to inherit her eternal life, should we not have more generous and gracious policies than Amazon with our lives? Like, we should be very generous and gracious with people when they come to us with needs. And later, Jesus says, if someone comes to borrow something from you, give it to them. Like, give it to them. Maybe you don't get it back. But things, material things, aren't more important than being able to show love and be kind to people. Now, there was one last one that he did, and we'll see whether or not this turns out any better than the last. Here's a one-worder again. This guy is... I don't know what this is. Ooh, what was the word you said?
Pizza.
Serving, serve. Yes, serve. That was eventually going to be a table and chairs. And then the table was under the chair was under the table. And so serve, thank you very much. It was serving, okay? So here's, what was going to be a table?
How was that going to be a table?
I hadn't decided yet how that was going to be a table. It was just coming together, and then I heard the answer, so I got really excited. But let me ask you first, before we read what Jesus said about it, have you ever heard the saying, someone went the extra mile?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what it means?
No.
Someone went above and beyond. Above and beyond, that's exactly, like, look at this. Above and beyond, you got it. Nice job. It's doing more than what's expected. So if I said, can you help me clean up the cords after the service? If you cleaned up one, that would be great. But then if you stayed and you did another one, and you did another one, and you did another one, then you would be on the team, and you're more than welcome to join us anytime you want to clean up all these cords. But that would be going the extra mile. So what Jesus said is, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And now, remember, who was in charge of Jerusalem at this time? Who was ruling over it? Romans. The Romans, yeah. And so that meant that according to Roman law, a Roman soldier could just go and say, I want you to carry all my stuff for 1 mile. And so my heavy helmet and my shield and my sword and my bags of food or whatever it was, you have to carry it for a whole mile. That's a pretty long way. That's like 2.2 kilometers. No, 1.6 kilometers. You're not doing it. Well, you wouldn't really have a choice. We're not going to talk about what they would do necessarily, but you wouldn't really have a choice. You would have to do it. And so it's not exactly like me asking nicely, would you mind helping me with this? It would be more like somebody saying, I am more powerful than you are, and this is what you're going to do. You are going to do it because I've told you, and I'm going to push you to the maximum that the law will possibly allow me to force you to do, and you're going to do it because you're weaker than I am. Ha ha ha. So it's not exactly the same. Kind of like a parent to a kid? Yeah, kinda. And it's what we might revert to if we don't get more help with the stage cleanup too. We'll see how it goes. But how do you think that would make the Jewish people feel if the Romans come up to them and just say, you're carrying my stuff now? Sad? I don't know what this is. This is a new kid thing. They just all say sad life. I know what it means, but I've never seen it before. That in my childhood. Doesn't matter. It's a tear, yes. You're a real-life emoji, emoticon. Okay, so what else would they feel? Sad. What else? Angry, sure.
Mad.
Disrespected. Huh? Happy.
Happy.
As happy as oil on a fire. Serving other people. Well, yes, he's just jumping ahead a little bit here. Because what Jesus is saying is that nobody would think about carrying the stuff further than what they had to. Because nobody liked it, and it made them feel terrible and weak and unimportant and bullied. But Jesus was never about showing the minimum amount of love possible. Jesus was always about showing the maximum amount of love possible. And he showed that love humbly serves others. And I'm not going to try and salvage that table into something. Is there an E in humbly? Anybody? Is there an E in humbly? No? Okay. Okay. Love humbly serves others, even if they don't deserve it, okay? Because Jesus wasn't about just showing the minimum way that you could express love. He was up for showing the maximum. So you'd get to the mile marker, and they'd expect you to put it down, but you would just continue on to serve them. Even though they didn't deserve it, they didn't do anything for you, it started out being something that you were being forced to do, but then because you chose it, it became a meaningful gesture of kindness and of love. And so love doesn't take revenge. Love is generous to those who don't deserve it. Love serves even our enemies. And Jesus goes on and he talks about how this is what's supposed to kind of set Christians apart from the rest of the world, because anybody can love someone who loves them back. That's not all that hard to do. It's really difficult to love our enemies and those who haven't been kind to us. And I say things like haven't been kind, haven't been nice, called us names. You know, as we grow up in the world, we find a lot of different ways that this expresses itself. People cheat us. People lie to us and deceive us. People, they steal from us. It's difficult because this really is where the rubber meets the road with our faith in a lot of ways. And we can really only do what Jesus is saying through the power of God's love in us. And it's not like this is just about, you know, for children when people aren't nice. This is the life of a follower of Christ, is an ongoing calling to show love to those who don't deserve it, because love has been shown to us, even though we didn't deserve it. See, true love comes from God, and then we share it with others. And so we don't just treat others the way they've treated us. We don't treat others the way we think they deserve. We are called, as followers of Jesus, to treat others the way God has treated us. And it's not about what another person's done for us. And the Bible talks about this in a number of places. One is the book of Ephesians that talks about how we should be kind and compassionate to one another. We should forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So you should forgive people, not because they've forgiven you, not because they did it first, but because God forgave you. And so that's my inspiration to forgive others. Jesus himself said, I give you a new command, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. So as I've loved you, that's how you learn how to love one another. It's not just that you do to people what they have done to you. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that you would want them to, that you would want them to show the kind of love that God has shown you. And so that's what you're going to show. And when we think about how Jesus loves us, this one I'll only get adults to answer. Let's tell the kids what's one word that describes how Jesus has loved you? And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. What's a word that describes how Jesus has loved you in your life?
Patience.
With patience. Sacrificially. Unconditionally. With forgiveness. Right? Jesus' love for us is deep, and it's given freely. It's such a beautiful thing. And when we show love for our enemies, we're showing the same kind of love and forgiveness that God has shown to us. And it's not easy, but whenever we feel like we don't have love inside us to give to those who have harmed us, we go back and we ask God for more and for him to give us the love and for him to give us the patience towards people that we need to care for them. One of Jesus' followers wrote in the Bible, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." We love one another with the love that comes to us from God. We receive it and then we pass it on, not just to each other in the church and the family of God, but to the whole world, to those who mistreat us, even if they're not very easy to love. And so I've got just one more example to have here up on the board. So it's a bit of a shorter Sunday, but that's because Attention spans are, they're the same. Never mind. It doesn't matter. All generations are great. We love them all. So here's a couple of pictures, okay? I just want to see, does this first picture make you feel kind of lovey-dovey, kind of warm inside? Oh, yeah. Yeah. What about the next one? Oh, pretty nice. Yeah. And the next one? Had to include the chickens. There's some chicken lovers here. Okay, next one. Pretty warm and fuzzy, right? It's just kind of feel nice. Next one. Next one. What else? Oh, duckling, of course. Next one. It's a hedgehog. Even though it's kind of a weird looking thing, it's still cute somehow, right? It still makes you feel kind of nice. Okay, what about the next one? What do we got? What do we got? Oh, I threw a cat in. I don't see what people see in these things, but some people like cats. So there's one more, I think, too. So if they're like that, they're all right, okay? And then what about the next one? What do we got? Yeah, so it's a boar of some sort. I don't know. It doesn't make you feel the same. What about the next one? This is, turkey, you know. It looks a lot better on the table than it does in real life. Okay, and the next one? This is called a goblin shark. That's a real thing. Welcome to your nightmares. Next one? That's the naked mole rat. Yeah, no hair. No. And the next one? What do we got? This is the star nose mole. That's horrifying, too. And why is his claws that big? I don't understand. And then I think we've got one more. Have we got one more? Yes, there. That's what some people are calling the world's ugliest cat. That's a cat. That's a cat. I know. Everything's wrong with it. Everything is wrong with that cat. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make. Some things, like you saw a puppy, you saw a kitten, and it kind of made you feel like, oh, so nice. And these feelings kind of came up inside you. But then you see like a naked mole rat, and you're like, sick. This is gross. And maybe we could just get that off the screen. Maybe we could just... Some were cute and just made you feel affection for it right away. But some things don't kind of make feelings of love come up in you. Some things are just kind of ugly. And people aren't ugly, but sometimes the things that we do are ugly. Sometimes the things that people do... Is it not going away? Can we please make it go away? Thank you. I'm so... scared it was going to come out at me or something. Anyone can feel affection for a little puppy or a little kitten when it crawls up on you and licks its face. A lot harder to love things that are kind of look like that. A lot harder to love people who do things that look like that, who do things that are ugly, that are hurtful, that harm. And it's in those moments where being a follower of Jesus really should make us act differently. Because when we don't feel like love kind of naturally comes up inside us, we go and we ask God to give us love to give to people. And so instead of like when you see a little puppy, you just feel kind of love. And if someone's really nice to you, you feel, you know, it feels nice. And it's easy to kind of give that back. But when somebody does something that hurts you or frustrates you or challenges you, all of a sudden that feeling doesn't just come up anymore. But as a follower of Jesus, you can say, I know at times, God, I have done things to hurt you, and I want you to give me your love to pass on to this person so that I can treat them with the love and the grace that you've shown me. And that's where we go back to the cross and we see the most important moment ever of God not giving us what we deserve and really not giving Jesus what he deserved either, because he deserved not to suffer, but he took our place and suffered anyway. And so it's something that no matter what age or stage of life we're in, we can ask God to help us when we don't feel love or affection for people, and even when we feel anger and frustration and we feel like getting even, we can take that to God and ask him to replace it and give us the love that we should have. And so I want to pray that for us. God, I want to pray for not just the kids. I want to pray for everyone in every stage of life in this room right now. We all probably, if we thought about it right now, can think of people who have hurt us not that long ago. And sometimes we respond nicely, and a lot of times we don't. A lot of times we respond to people the way that just feels right, and normally it feels right to try and get them back or get even or somehow cause them pain. God, I pray that you would help us to stop when we've been hurt and to ask you to love through us, to give us your love so that we can give it away freely and generously. And I pray you help us understand that doesn't mean that people should be allowed to hurt us and just get away with it, or that we have to struggle and never talk about it or anything like that, but that we would know that your love for us is so great that we never need to worry about whether we're loved or we're valuable or whether you've got a great plan and future in mind for us. All those things are always true no matter what people do to us. And I pray that as we have confidence in who we are because of your love for us and who you've made us to be, that we would be able to pass on love and grace. And I pray that would show up for these young ones as they go back to school, that they would be able to show the confidence of being your children and being able to love despite challenging circumstances. I pray that it would happen for the businessmen and women in this church, that in their dealings when they are mistreated, that they would be able to seek what is right and true and just, but at the same time extend grace and have a character that is different than what most encounter in the business world. For parents, I pray that we would be able to extend grace upon grace when we find it difficult in our role to be patient. I pray that in every aspect of life, your love would overwhelm us and would overflow out of us and impact those around us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand? We got a couple more songs to sing.